So I don't know how many of us did this, but I would be interested to know if there was anyone who came in this morning and looked how all the chairs were set up and thought to myself, wow, that is just like my life. Because that's kind of what we were going for when we were designing it, you know, how to put it all together. We were kind of basing it out of our own personal experience. It's sort of the point when you are wandering into the wilderness, because the wilderness is scattered. You know, it's uneven. It's unknown. We're really not aware of how we are going to be when we come out on the other side. So one of my favorite examples of this is the cave scene from The Empire Strikes Back. You know, when Luke is training with Yoda in the swamp and he suddenly feels this cold spot. And Yoda says that that cave is strong with the dark side of the Force. And Luke says, what's in there? And Yoda says, only what you take with you. And of course, when Luke goes in, what he discovers he has taken with him is Darth Vader. But of course, it's much more than that. Throughout the Star Wars trilogy, we see this descent that Luke takes in his character. So in the first movie, he's dressed mostly in white. In the second movie, he's kind of in a gray, dirty jumpsuit. And then finally, by the third movie, he's dressed all in black. This kind of lets us know where it is that Luke is going, what he's taking with him. That cave experience never leaves him. And of course, The Last Jedi has its own version of this when Rey is sucked down into the hole. She's also discovered that this too is connected with the dark side. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, why are our heroes so connected and so attracted to the dark side of the Force? What we see that they both have in common is that when they get there, they end up discovering each other. And George Lucas, who's the creator, of course, of Star Wars, he's a big fan of this professor by the name of Joseph Campbell. Campbell has, in many ways, influenced the Star Wars trilogy, the original one. You might know him from his books, Hero of a Thousand Faces or The Power of Myth. He's been this major contributor to the understanding of how mythology works, particularly the mythological hero. One of the themes that Campbell says exists in most hero stories is that they go through this period of having to be in isolation as a period of initiation and as a period of self-discovery. They venture out into this place so that they may discover who they truly are. In the Gospel of Matthew, this happens to Jesus right after his baptism, when God announces who Jesus is, when God proclaims, "This is my son." So it is after God's declaration, confirming the true identity of Jesus, saying this is who Jesus is, then Jesus goes out into the wilderness. Now what the wilderness is in the gospel story is both this place of mystery and it is a place of danger. Practically because many people in this time were a part of tribes, right? They were part of communities. And these communities were usually small and limited. So you only stayed within the geographical confines of your tribe or your community. You stayed where it was safe, and you stayed where it was familiar. Now again, many people at this time, they didn't have maps, and even if they had maps, they wouldn't be able to read them. So your knowledge of the landscape is really only as much as what your trusted people have told you. So when they say, don't go beyond this point, you have to really trust that, because you don't know what is on the other side. It might be animals, it might be bandits, it might be other tribes looking to harm you. So that's the physical part of it. There is also a spiritual component. Now again, these are people who were raised with the Genesis story of how God created the earth. But it's only the earth as much as they know, as much as they have been and seen. And so spiritually, these people did not know what was beyond the land that they have seen. What if there are parts of the world that God has not ordered out of chaos? What if there are things out there that are even more dangerous than other tribes and bandits? The wilderness, of course, also represents initiation. So not only does it exist in many ancient cultures throughout the world, in fact, it even still exists today. You also see this not just in ancient cultures. You don't just see this in biblical heroes. You also see this in fiction heroes. You even see this in Batman. You even see this in Superman. You even see this in Spider-Man. These heroes who are called to go to a mysterious place, and then they come out, and in many ways they are different, and yet in other ways they are more of who they are supposed to be. So as we look at Jesus for the first time, of course the question is, how does this help us know who Jesus is? If God has already declared who Jesus is at his baptism, if God already says, "This is my son," then why does he need to go out into the wilderness all by himself? And of course, this is not just about Jesus discovering his identity. It's not just about us discovering who Jesus is. This is also about discovering where Jesus' strength comes from. In the Gospel of Luke, the story reads that the devil was with Jesus all 40 days. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus is by himself for 40 days, and then the devil appears. And so perhaps what the story is teaching us is that the devil, the tempter, appears to Jesus when he is at his weakest point. The only thing we know in this story about what Jesus did is that he fasted. So, of course, he didn't eat. He perhaps didn't even drink. For 40 days, he doesn't put anything into his body. And so, of course, he's famished. He's starved. He's probably dehydrated. But of course, the question might be, or at least a question that I have, is what else did Jesus have to go through? You know, what else did Jesus do all of those 40 days? What did he see? What did he experience? Many cultures, when they have this lone person go out into the wilderness, they go through all of these different experiences. Sometimes they fast, they starve. Sometimes they have hallucinations or they have visions. Sometimes they have to do things in which they are able to defend themselves or maybe conquer an enemy or conquer the environment. They have to be able to conquer something before they come back to their home. So if that's the case, what did Jesus have to conquer? Was it the devil? Was it himself? Maybe it was both. And so when Jesus is famished and the devil comes to him, he says, "Use your power for yourself." He gives all of these examples. You know, you can turn rocks into bread. You can jump off of a mountain and see if the angels will tend to you. You could even overthrow all of these governments. This is the temptation, to see how Jesus will use his power. So God has declared that Jesus is the Son. But now we're going to see what Jesus is going to do with that. And the temptation is not just to use the power for himself. The temptation might also be to usher in a new kind of kingdom, a kind of kingdom where governments fall, where the Roman Empire crumbles. Perhaps even the temptation might be for Jesus to be the kind of Messiah that the Jewish people want him to be. You know, the warrior king, the one who ushers in on this big war horse with all of these shields and armors and weapons, and then takes over everything, defeats all of the enemies, all of the people the Jewish community say is their enemies. Maybe Jesus is tempted to do that. "You can do that," the devil says, "or if you want, I can do it for you. All you have to do is worship me." I don't know that there was really a temptation for Jesus to follow someone else, but I do wonder how much he thought about using his power in a more forceful way to accomplish his mission. In some ways, we are able to discover in this passage who Jesus is by discovering who Jesus is not. Jesus is not someone who is interested in being a magician or a superhero. He's not interested in attracting people by demonstrating his powers or even by using them to help people. He is not someone who is interested in authoritarian power, you know, upending political systems by using force and domination. He is not someone who is interested in being a celebrity by attracting people to him based on his status or by everyone seeing him as a spectacle. Jesus is someone who does not do what he does for his own personal gain. He does what he does out of his love for God and out of his love for others. So we see what Jesus is not willing to do. We also see what Jesus does. In some ways, looking at another hero story, we see that Jesus is able to do where, for example, Spider-Man is not. So if we know the origin of Spider-Man, Spider-Man is this nerdy kid, Peter Parker, who's bullied all the time, and he gains these powers. He's finally stronger than everyone else, and he decides to use his abilities not as a hero first. He decides to become a celebrity. So he goes on television, he demonstrates all the things that he can do, and he gains a lot of success and fame and money out of it. And one day after he's leaving one of his shows, he sees this burglar running towards an elevator. And rather than stopping him, he just lets him go. The security guard says, "Why didn't you stop him?" And he was like, "Well, that's not my job. I don't have to." He goes home that night and he finds that his uncle has been murdered by an intruder. And so he hears where this intruder has escaped, puts on his Spider-Man costume, and he goes to this dark warehouse where it's so dark that at first he can't see who this bad guy is. And then after he knocks him out, he sees that it's the same person who he didn't stop just a few hours before. And he learns, of course, that great theme that many of us know about Spider-Man, that with great power comes great responsibility. So we see in that story, Spider-Man kind of had his own wilderness experience. He goes into this dark place, mysterious. He's not necessarily sure what he's going to find. What he does find is that he's not a hero. He failed. He failed the initiation that he was put into, and he realized that there is more to life than just fending for yourself. And so ever since then, he has been trying to make up for that past failure, that past mistake, that past sin, knowing that he can never correct that time he was in the wilderness and he discovered who he really was. What are those moments for us when we have to journey out into the wilderness to discover who we really are, what we are capable of, and maybe where we fail, where we're weak? That journey, of course, is life. For us, the wilderness might not be a physical, finite place that we kind of stumble into. Perhaps our whole lives are our wilderness experience. We venture out into that mystery every single day. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know if it's going to be good, if it's going to be bad. We don't know if we will have things to celebrate or things that completely crush us. But our life from time to time can be our wilderness experience. And so in the midst of that mystery, how easy is it for us to fall into those temptations so that we don't feel helpless or weak? How do we resist taking that power and that force, maybe the easy way out, that's full of domination and authority, and in the midst of that, staying that course that Jesus teaches us every day? Not only does he teach it, he also lives it out personally. So in the midst of our wilderness, how do we instead do what maybe the easy thing might do and really follow Jesus' teachings? And not just his teaching, but also his own practice in life. Because this is not just Jesus' temptation. This is our story too. This is our wilderness experience. This is our temptation. If we dare to venture out in that mystery of the wilderness, we could say that the temptations Jesus experiences, they're not actually from the devil. They might be from Jesus himself. Because it's easy to have a villain to cast blame on. You know, when we are tempted or when we fail or when we make a mistake, it's easy to cast blame on someone else, whether it's a devil or a Vader or a Joker. The reality is, the greatest opponent we may ever face is ourselves. I wonder sometimes if this is part of what Jesus thought about and wrestled with all those times he went out to pray. What about those days when the people or his disciples were just really getting on Jesus' nerves? Did he find himself thinking back to that wilderness experience, thinking to himself, "Oh, it would be just so easy if I could just force them to understand. If I could just force them to obey, if I could just force them to do the right thing, the thing that I want them to do, to just follow me and obey me, it would be so easy." Did Jesus ever have to break himself off and maybe take a time out, to go off by himself and get away from these temptations? Did he just need that time to remember the truth of his mission? Maybe to remember who he truly was, his true identity. What if he had not taken that time to go and to pray and to regroup, to refocus, to rejuvenate? What if Jesus had not taken his Sabbath time? When we run ourselves ragged, it becomes harder to stay the course. It might be out of exhaustion that we begin to cut corners, we begin to lax, we begin to think, well, maybe it's not so bad. Jesus was a person who understood the need, who understood his own need for that Sabbath time, for that rest and that renewal, so that he could focus, so that he could be truly present. And it's not just for us to physically be better, to be the most efficient we can be. It's a time for us to remember who we truly are. So for us, what is our wilderness? What are those places of darkness and mystery which force us to examine who we really are with all of our strengths, with all of our weaknesses, and all of our failures? Do we take the time, do we set aside the time to face them, to confront them, and to let these experiences transform us? We can often look at the temptation story as the time when Jesus was able to overpower the devil and beat temptation. But if we look at this story too simply, we miss the identity of Jesus being both fully divine, but also fully human. See, many people can look at this story and think that it was too easy for Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was tempted, but he seemed to overcome it so easily. That's not been my experience. So how can Jesus really be human if he's really able to conquer these temptations so easily when I fail so often? If we make this story too easy, it can cut people off from being able to identify and connect with who Jesus is. If we can look at this story as though we are seeing it for the first time, and maybe today we are. Maybe we're seeing this story and Jesus for the first time. Maybe we can see what Jesus was really struggling with, that he truly did struggle, just like all of us do. And that we have, in the midst of that, the ability to fight our temptations, even when they come from inside us. Because Jesus doesn't really rely on his own power to stand up to these temptations. He doesn't just rely on his own strength. He quotes scripture. He says over and over again, when the devil tempts him, it is written. He remembers the stories he has heard and he has studied his entire life. He relies on God's assurances, God who has called him son. He relies on the belief that he has not been alone this entire time. He has not been alone in the wilderness. He is never alone. That is where his strength comes from. It's not from his own personal identity. It's not from his study. It is from his belief, his faith, his trust that God has never left them, even during these 40 days. And so, like Jesus, we are not alone in our temptations. We are not alone in our trials. We are not alone in our wilderness. Even when these places or these life stages of mystery seem bigger than us, these temptations, these weaknesses, our failures do not separate us from God. We walk out into these places, whether we choose to or whether life just kind of throws them in our way, we are able to know that we walk into these places of darkness, of mystery, of uncertainty, and we are able to discover that God is already there. We are able to discover that God has been there all along. This is who Jesus is, and this is what he's trying to teach us. So as we find ourselves in those times and those places of uncertainty, those places of darkness, of danger, we also discover that there is something else. And it may take us a long time to discover what that is. But of course, it is not a what. It is a who. We discover in our wilderness that we are not alone. And even if that wilderness takes longer than 40 days, if it takes 40 years, no matter how long it is, God is with us. This is what Jesus remembers. This is perhaps, undoubtedly, what gets him through those 40 days and through that time when he is tempted, remembering that he is not alone. And he uses that to get himself through, to conquer those temptations, not because of his own strength, but being reminded that God has been with him this whole time, that no matter where Jesus goes, there God is. And so, no matter where we go, there Jesus is. Jesus, who offers himself totally, fully, completely to us, no matter where we end up, no matter where we find ourselves, Jesus is there. There are going to be those times when we find ourselves in darkness and mystery, uncertainty. We don't know how long we will be there, and we may desperately seek to get out of that place. But maybe sometimes it is a place for us to discover ourselves, to grow, to learn, to transform. No matter what it might be or the reason we might be there, let us remember, when Jesus was in that time, that period of isolation, he was not cut off. He was not alone. He was in God's presence. When we find ourselves in those times of darkness and mystery, let us remember, we are not in those periods alone. God is with us, and God is working through us, so that when we come out, we are not just changed. We are more of the person we were always meant to be. That's who Jesus is. And so as we discover that that's who Jesus is, let us also remember that can be our identity as well. So in those times when things seem discombobulated and confusing, let us remember this time and this place, that we are able to come back and that it goes with us because God goes with us. So let us go as people of God, following Jesus Christ, even in the times of the wilderness, remembering we are never alone. And let us go in peace. Amen.